Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, Eric Eager, Pro Football Focus, join us now. First off, Eric, thanks for joining us on short notice, and you got my boy over here a little fired up over your top six play callers in the NFL. I'm just letting you know on hand.
So Eric, I want to know how you came up. Eric, how do you come up with this list? Because I can agree with three out of the six. Is this just based on last season, or is it just like potential? Because I look at, how could Byron Leftwich not have success? Tom Brady, Joe Brady, is that based on potential? Come on, how can you put John Gruden over Sean Payton? Now, Andy Reid, I agree with that. I'm a Matt LaFleur, a fan with the Packers, who's number one. Brian Daboll. With the Bills, I can understand all that. So I kind of agree with 50% where you're at. So you basing this strictly on numbers or what, Eric? Come on.
Bobby, Christian, it's good to be on again. I miss you guys from the season. 50% is better than I'm doing with some people. Also, this Peyton is in the top 10. I was on the deadline. I only wrote the first six, I will say. But when I look at And one of the reasons, was running in late on my podcast that I was explaining to my co-host about the Leftwich one, I think is the one that people find most offensive. But you look at the body of work with Leftwich, and I am grading based upon, like, the most previous game gets the most weight, and then games from, like, 2019 get a little bit of weight and so on. Leftwich in 2019, that Saints team had a top five offense in terms of yards per play. And I believe Oakland Raiders that year were sixth. The Las Vegas Raiders this past year were seventh. I think Gruden's terrible at buying groceries, but he's a really good cook. And that team doesn't have really any wide receivers, and they're a super efficient offense. And I think when you look at Tampa Bay, yes, Brady obviously is the straw that stirs the drink, but you look at that team, NFC Championship game, no Antonio Brown. Scotty Miller steps up. Tyler Johnson steps up with a humongous catch on the final drive. Godwin was injured for much of the year. Offensive line, you had a rookie at right tackle. You had a backup, one of the guards in the Super Bowl. You had, banged up guys at running back all season. And they continued to produce, and they got better as the season progressed. When we look at that offense, it sort of looks inevitable to us. But even in the Super Bowl, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, second in the NFL in yards given up to wide receivers. Godwin and Evans combined for three catches. Where do they go? They go to the tight ends. They make do even. They play left-handed well even. So I think Leftwich is really underrated. I can understand. I think if you look at body of work, if you look at just like the totality of a career.
Byron Leftwich can't hold Sean Payton's jock. I'm just telling you, Eric. I'm just keeping it real. I'm just telling you. Let's see. What Sean Payton's going to do with Jameis Winston. Byron Leftwich had Jameis Winston. But you know why this is flawed? Let me tell you why it's flawed. Because I like numbers like you like numbers. You probably like numbers better than I like numbers, but I do like numbers. Because being in the quarterback room, what you do on third down, you're playing the percentages. But let me tell you this one thing, Eric. If you look at Kyle Shanahan, you think Kyle Shanahan don't know what the hell he's doing? It might be who's hurt or not hurt when he's trying to call a game plan. He didn't forget how to coach. I look at Kyle Shanahan with Atlanta, now he goes to San Francisco. So that's why, to me, when you look at what have you done in a particular game or a season, that's why, to me, the skin's on the wall and what transpires is totally. Now, Andy Reid. You don't have to convince me with Andy Reid. That is enough of a sample size that it's hard to challenge. Now, when you look at, Joe Brady. Okay, Eric, how can you be that much on the Joe Brady bandwagon? I'm a fan of Joe Brady, but is this based on potential? Or are you just throwing a bone to the youngsters or what?
Well, so, again, it's sort of our way of measuring it is to say, who are the players to have on your team and how did they perform against what you would expect? So, you know, for example, in the article, I say, you know, Teddy Bridgewater last season was 12th in yards per play per pass. He had the same yards per play as Tom Brady did throwing the ball, but he was the 24th graded quarterback. What to me, that signifies either it's a small sample size thing, and it's just he puffed up Bridgewater for a few games, and we're giving him credit for that. Or
I agree.
You're taking a guy who's fundamentally not that good, which is Bridgewater is a bottom third of the league quarterback, and you give him the opportunity. You know, I mean, you get super production out of him with, you know, a banged up Christian McCaffrey, a bad offensive line, and, you know, a wide receiver like Robbie, like DJ Moore's a first round pick. I'll grant you that, but they don't really have much at tight end. And Robbie Anderson's a guy that came over for a modest contract. And, you know, I take that in conjunction with what he did at LSU, which is 1 year at LSU, that team went from Joe Burrow was not anything, you know, he wasn't a first round draft pick, let's say, after 2018. Then 2019, you look at that team, and now we're looking at a bunch of first round draft picks as a result of the offense they were able to put together there. So I think with Brady, it doesn't become a fluke, and there's a reason he was interviewed
the only thing, Eric, with that. Okay, if the Panthers would have made the playoffs, I could understand that. But they were not even a threat to the Saints or Tampa Bay. That's the only thing you might say, well, you have to look at that complete roster and Joe Brady's trying to do his best. You know what, to me, this upcoming season, I think Sam Darnold is going to have success in a Carolina uniform. I'm a Sam Darnold fan. Some people aren't. I mean, he didn't have success with the Jets. I think it's an upgrade to Teddy Bridgewater. So, listen, I like Joe Brady. I am not a Joe Brady hater. I think he will have success. But to me, it's based more on potential. I mean, when I look at that list, I'm just saying Andy Reid, I can understand. Matt LaFleur, he's dealing with Aaron Rodgers. Okay, for instance, you got Matt LaFleur number one. Okay, what the hell he's going to do with Jordan Love? So all of a sudden, if Matt LaFleur does not have success with Jordan Love, did Matt LaFleur forget how to coach? Come on, Eric.
Well, I think I've had a couple different ones. I talked about LaFleur as a head coach and then as a play caller. I mean, he kind of reminds me of a coach that you played against in the NFC West back in the day, George Seifert, where you take over I think his record is almost as good as Seifert's. Like, Seifert started 14-2 two straight years as a coach. And, you know,
and he was a defensive coach. He didn't even have to coach the offense was already there.
Sure, but I'm talking more as a head coach and then as well. But, like, as a play caller, you know, he inherited, like, a great quarterback. But if you look at some of the efficiency metrics, you know, Rodgers in 2018 wasn't particularly good. In 2019, he evidently wasn't – like, his efficiency stats weren't that great. They still went 13-3, and they were sour enough on him to draft his replacement. Now, he comes back over the top with an MVP season. But again, you're looking at an offense where, aside from Davante Adams and Aaron Jones, you don't have much in the way of superstar talent, and they were one of the most efficient offenses in football. I think LaFleur deserves a great deal of credit for that. And, you know, when you look at what that offense was like with Mike McCarthy as head coach and play caller, and you look at where it is now, where it was darn, you watch that game in New Orleans on Sunday night, week 3 last year. That's a scary offense, right? That was a couple scary offenses playing against each other. And that's a far cry from where even Rodgers was the year before and, you know, where they were 2 years prior with McCarthy. So I think LaFleur deserves a great deal of credit. The thing that people ding him for was he made a really bad decision to kick a field goal at the end of the game. Yeah, but you look at the collection of fourth downs he's had. There was only one guy, and I believe that was Kevin Stefanski, was the only coach who made more good decisions on fourth down over the past few years than he did. So, again, I think LaFleur deserves quite a bit of credit. I think that you don't go 26-6 over the past two seasons by accident.
Well, Eric, and you talk about a record by accident doesn't happen. Well, no one has won more games than New Orleans Saints the last four seasons. That's a big enough sample size. You might say, well, what do you do in the postseason? But I look at the organization top to bottom. You're talking about a dozen plus years. When you look at the combination, two-headed monster, whatever you want to do, or you can even say three-headed monster, considering one of the coaches are leaving, it just left, that Coach Lombardi, he's getting a second chance. He didn't work out Matthew Stafford, the Lions. Now he gets to coach Justin Herbert with the Los Angeles Chargers. So when you look at that, and then he's the third banana. Then you look at Pete Carmichael, what he did with the Saints, the number one offense, when Sean Payton is suspended because of Bounty Gate. So when I look at Sean Payton and I look at Pete Carmichael and the Saints offense, come on, Eric, I know you looked this up. Look at the consistency. Come on, I know you're going to do your homework. Look at 2006 to now. Now, maybe they took a step back last year, but you look overall, this is more than a dozen years. Look what the Saints offense was ranked, led by Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael, and what they've done. I'm just telling you, you can't put John Gruden, who was doing ESPN Monday Night Football, over Sean Payton. You cannot. Come on, the Raiders didn't win anything.
All right, let him come up for air.
Come on, Eric, the Raiders didn't win anything.
No, I think this is very much, and I did have a head coaching ranking. I did have Sean Payton in the top four or five. I do think that entire roster last season, the offense took steps backwards. But
I agree.
You know, there is something to be said for going 8-2 without Breeze. Breeze was injured for 10 games as a Saint, I believe, and he was 8-2. And you know, he certainly deserves some credit for that. I think the last probably year and a half has been more carried by the defense of this team than it was the offense.
Eric, I'm sorry to cut you off. My producer is telling me we have to go. We're way over time.
I'm too long-winded, Eric. Sorry.
It's all good, man. Hey, thanks for having me on again.
All right, Eric Eager, Pro Football Focus. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.